Welcome to Soundbites, true stories told by local Mainers and nationally recognized storytellers. The themes are always changing and the hosts are from all over the nation, but when you hear the name Soundbites, you're in for a unique storytelling experience. Soundbites is made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing, Frontier, The Press Hotel, and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. This week's stories were told live at Frontier in Brunswick, where the event's dedicated theme was grilled. Here's today's host, Brooklyn-based storyteller Mark Pagan.
Let's give another wild round of applause to our next storyteller, Kimberly Curry.
Transylvania is a real place. I discovered this as I was looking at a map of Romania. I also learned that the language of Romania is Romanian. It's one of the five Romance languages. So that's a good trivia question for you. My interest for Romania was that I was going to be living there for 2 years. I had signed up for the Peace Corps, and that's where I was going. 8 years after the wall fell in Germany, it opened up the Iron Curtain to the Eastern Bloc. So countries and companies alike fled to this new fertile ground that was the Eastern Bloc. And Peace Corps was part of that wave. By the time I arrived 8 years later, we were 73 strong of Peace Corps volunteers. We had language and culture training in country for 11 weeks. Now, when it comes to languages, my brain is like a sieve. It catches a few words that don't always make sense, but it's what I have. And so even after 11 weeks of training, I still spoke like a toddler. But that's no problem because that was only one of many barriers I had to overcome. I also had to overcome those unseen social norms that I would just stomp right through without realizing it. So I was sent off to the city of Suceava, which is in the northeastern corner of Romania. I like to think of it as the Maine of Romania. It's hard to get to. The people talk with a funny accent. Instead of lighthouses, people go to see the painted monasteries that have been there for centuries. And instead of lobster rolls, they go for the chocolate chip cookies. Now, there was a Western company that moved into Suceava, and they had taught a bunch of orphans how to make these cookies, and they tasted just like home. So I'm in my town, the city of Suceava, and I was placed there with a site mate. A site mate is like a roommate, but they're at your site. Laura, a Rhode Island native, and I became fast friends. And together, her language skills are much better than mine, but together we navigated those unseen cultural norms. It was a little bit of a lonely time for both of us. We were sort of plunked into the city, foreigners in this land. People looked at us suspiciously. I was asked often if I worked for the CIA, and people looked at me with an arched eyebrow. I didn't work for the CIA. So we would also have to really kind of forage for our own food. What I mean by that is we couldn't just go to Hannaford or local grocery store and just buy groceries. We had to go to the market to get our fresh vegetables and eggs and cheese, the bakery for bread, and if we could handle it, the butcher for meat. Now, it might sound really romantic and lovely, and oh, that's the way to shop, that's so great, but when it's wintertime and the only thing in the market is pickled cabbage, the romance is gone pretty quick. So you can imagine what it's like when Laura and I were on one of our foraging trips for food one day, when we saw something in a store that we had not seen. And it was like a light was coming down from the heavens on this object, and we were just so excited. It was red and shiny and brand new, and there was only one of them. It was a grill. And we were like, oh my God. So we didn't buy it right away, but we went back to my apartment and we discussed it. Should we get it? It took a week. But after dreaming about this possibility, we said, you know, this might be it. Let's pool our resources and get this grill. And it was going to live at my Soviet block apartment on my Soviet block porch. I was on a balcony, I was very excited. We bought it, brought it home, and then we sat around it like it was a newborn baby. It was just so shiny and new and pretty. And so we talked about all the barbecues that we had been to that were terrific. We talked about all the delicious things we could put on this grill, but there was a problem. There was no charcoal. We couldn't find charcoal anywhere. So the grill more became a symbol of better times. Just sat there and people would come just to look at the grill. I heard you have a grill. Can I see the grill? Here it is. Spring came, summer came, and fall was coming around. I said, you know, we've got to really try and make a use of this. So one day, now, keep in mind, it took a while for Laura and I to kind of settle and make friends. Because it was, you know, post-communist Romania, we became friends with a group of young artists and poets and writers who were born into communism but became of age under capitalism. So that we had the best conversation. It was really interesting. And on this one particular evening, it was fall, I had some other Peace Corps friends visiting, and the other Romanians over visiting. We were having great conversations. Someone had brought the white album of the Beatles, and it was playing on my cassette tape. It was new music I hadn't heard in a long time. And so we're playing that, and I said, you know what, this is the time. Let's bust out that grill. So we went to the park across the street from my apartment. I had lived in a small-ish Soviet block style, so which is to say there are only 12 units in this building. Now, if I don't know if that means anything to you, but usually they're sort of like these large, you know, 100 stories of just cement apartments. But mine was small and low and nice. And we got, it was next to a park. We went across the street and gathered a bunch of sticks and paper. We can make fire, make something work. It had rained that day, but no matter, we're flexible. So we went in, and I assigned my friend Doru, who is Romanian, to the grill, and also my friend Amy, a fellow Peace Corps volunteer. I said, you guys take care of the grill. I'll chop up some vegetables, and I'll get that going. All right. I even had some sausage. I went to the butcher's, had sausage. And so the first batch was not, they get going, but, you know, as I said, it rained earlier, so the sticks made it very smoky. So smoke is billowing off the grill, like big waves. But, you know, Matt, we persisted. We said, we're going to make this work. I had given them slices of eggplant and some sausages. The eggplant burned on the outside, raw and bitter on the inside. But no matter, we did have some chocolate chip cookies, so there was that. And the sausages were just, they were inedible. But as they're struggling with the grill, I'm in the kitchen chopping more vegetables, thinking of a food plan. And I was also thinking, you know, we have been here together. I'm thinking of all the friends I had gathered around. I arrived in country knowing nobody. And now I had this really great community around me. I felt loved. I felt supported. I felt really like, this is so cool. I'm kind of making a difference, and they're making a difference in my life. When all of a sudden, I heard, boo, 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 on the door and screaming, like, oh my God, what's happening? So I ran down the hallway, I opened the door, and I am met with pure rage. I don't know if any of you have encountered an Eastern European grandmother before, but they are not to be reckoned with. They have survived bread lines, alcoholic husbands, and they have made feasts out of nothing. And so she is there, shorter than I am, with wiry gray hair coming out. Her face is crumpled like a napkin, and she's waving her bony finger at me and shouting at me. Keep in mind, my language skills have not improved. I'm hearing her, I'm sensing that she's upset, I get that. But I have a sense of detachment, like, this woman is upset about something, I wonder what it is. So I look down the hallway to my friends who speak Romanian, who are better speakers of Romanian, for help. But as I look, I see nothing. I only hear the Beatles with the White Album playing. And I say, hey guys, a little help? Then a disembodied voice says, she's upset about the smoke. She said you're gonna kill her. Like, oh. It made sense because she lived right upstairs, so the smell was billowing right up and going right into her apartment. This disembodied voice also added, and she says you're going to kill her, all of us. I'm like, I don't know what that means. Well, that means Doru heard the commotion from the balcony. He comes out, serve as translator, and he's, I'm so sorry. And come to find out, she was absolutely convinced that the gas line in my kitchen stove was going to just blow up. And she said, no. She said, you have to use the grill in the mountains. You do not use them in the city. This is not where the grill is for. So we promised that we would put it out. We put the grill out, and she promised to tell my landlord what a terrible and dangerous person I was. We closed the door. I went back. I finished the meal in the kitchen stove, on the gas stove, and we put the grill out. We never used the grill again, but it became a symbol for all of us of something that we could share from home.
Kimberly Curry loves to come back to her native state of Maine as much as she loves traveling around the world. After Peace Corps, she fulfilled that reverse wanderlust by returning home to Maine to work in the nonprofit world. Currently, she is the Director of Community Relations at Goodwill Northern New England, where she is proud to promote the goodwill of Goodwill. When Kimberly is not in her art studio painting with watercolors or beeswax, she is making popovers in her kitchen. She has not won any prizes for storytelling yet. But when she was in kindergarten, her drawing of a giant sheep made her the winner of a school-wide contest. Let's give her another round of applause.
Join us now for a conversation before the tell backstage. Our storyteller talked with the host to give us some interesting facts about them.
What is your connection to Maine?
My connection to Maine is I was born here, and my family goes back generations, probably the late 1700s. Very proud of that.
I actually have a lot of follow-up questions. I rarely meet anybody who's got a family connection with an area that goes back that far. Wow. What got you into storytelling?
What got me into storytelling is that I come from a family of storytellers, and in the sense that we would sit around the dinner table or after dinner and just sit on the front stoop and just tell story after story. A lot of legends.
What is your process for preparing to tell?
My process for preparing to tell would be to sort of go over it in my head a few times, sometimes even write it out if I need to, and then tease it out. And then having a live audience person, like a friend I can just run it by, is also very helpful.
And this is the last question. Tell us about one part of your story, like some behind the scenes detail, that you are not including in your tell tonight. In your tell tonight.
I do talk about cultural norms in a different country that you may not be aware of. And one particular situation I had when I was living in Romania is I did laundry one Sunday thinking, oh, there was a nice crisp wind, not knowing that I insulted the entire neighborhood by hanging my sheets out to dry. Even my liberal atheist friends were horrified.
Soundbites is made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing, Frontier, The Press Hotel, and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. Special thanks also to Toad & Co. More information about Soundbites, including how to attend a live storytelling event, is online at soundbitesme.org. And of course, you can always hear more stories at mainepublic.org.